Good morning. The name of that song is what? Huh? Total praise. How much? Wouldn't it be something if there were a group of people that would give him total praise? What would that look like? Huh? Yeah. What would that look like if a group of people gave him that? The Bible says how that God inhabits the praises of Israelite people. What would happen if this church decided on a Sunday we were going to do that? Huh? How would it change the atmosphere? Huh? Stand to your feet, everyone. Play that. Who was singing that? Who was singing that? You guys are singing? Grab a mic. Get a mic. Get a mic. I wonder if we can do that. Hallelujah. Grab a mic. Grab a mic. You're going to play that again. We're going to go this way, Dwayne. We're going to go this way. I'm just saying, what would happen if we were to... You sing? You know that song? All right, all right, all right, all right. I'm going to sing it. Let's see what would happen if we actually did what we're singing about. Go ahead, 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 go ahead. Amen. 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 So be it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, listen. We're going to celebrate the Lord some more. Get ready to sing the song I'd like for you to sing. Something about that name. Jesus. 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 Get ready to sing it. We're going to celebrate the Lord some more. He's honored when we sing praises to him and tell him how good he is and how wonderful he is. Huh? He's honored. Huh? What would it look like if a church gave him total praise? You ready, Anita? Sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, come on. Cry out Jesus. Cry out Jesus, Jesus. Yes, yes, cry out Jesus. Something, something. You know it, you know it. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Look at my table. Look at my table.
Plug it in. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. Pick up that drumstick. That drumstick over there. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Grab someone by the hand as we pray. Grab someone by the hand as we pray. Grab someone by the hand. Grab someone by the hand as we pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, this group of people here, we acknowledge there's something about the name you gave to your son, the Lord Jesus. Kings and kingdoms, presidents and kings come and go. But you, Lord Jesus, you remain. And we honor you today. God, we're imperfect people. But we give you what we have today. We bless your name, for your name above every name in heaven and earth and beneath the earth. And God, this group here today, that this morning, we surrender ourselves to you. God, we've sung this song that we give you this total praise. God, we acknowledge that there's something about you in that name. We thank you for being in this place with us. Spirit of God, you are welcome. Move as you see fit during the time that I speak. God, this group of people here, God, we've decided we're not going to fight you nor rebel against you anymore. Just simply say yes to your will. Sing, okay. Pray, okay. God, whatever your will is, God, we're going to do it. We thank you for your patience, for your long suffering. And God, most of all, we thank you for salvation that you've given to us. God, and I pray that there may be someone here today who does not know you as Savior. God, what has gone on thus far, what will continue going on, I pray, God, that you would take that, you would use that, God, and you would draw them into yourself. God, it's not your will that any should perish. And so we thank you again that you haven't come yet because you're giving my cousin, yeah, my relatives, my friends, another day to get right. So again, we bless you and honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. You may have a seat in the presence of the Lord, everyone. Give the Lord a hand clap, everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you. Man, there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. There's something about that name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. Man, yeah. All passed away. But there's something. That's why they don't want you to use it in school. Don't use the name Jesus in school. Huh? Don't use it at work. Don't use it on the news. Huh? There's something about them. And they're all going to pass away. Every 4 or 8 years, another president comes in, right? They're all going to pass away. But there's something. Something. Yeah. Are you glad that you're here this morning? Amen. Amen. Listen, we're going to continue with the sermon series entitled Managing Your Emotions. And today we're going to talk about disappointment. And in fact, I was talking to a member here the other day. And you know, they were making the comment that, you know what, Pastor, I didn't know that really saints can get depressed until I got depressed after you preached the message. I said, what's going on with me? And I told them, see, the Lord wants you to know it happens. It happens. Amen. Listen, if you've never been there, you can't pray for those who are there. Amen. And so God allowed that person to kind of feel a little bit. So today we're going to talk about disappointment. It wouldn't say disappointment. Anytime you put the word dis on something, it separates it, right? And an appointment is some engagement we're going to have. And when I'm disappointed, for some reason, that engagement I thought we were going to have, it did not materialize. And so if you're not careful, that primary emotion of disappointment can lead to that secondary emotion, which is anger. You can get angry. You said you were going to do something. You didn't do it. I got disappointed. I didn't manage it well, and I got angry. I took my stuff. You see little kids do that. They get disappointed. And they'll have that little face that they'll give you, right? They want you to know, I'm angry with you because you didn't give me that Power Ranger. Managing your emotions, the one disappointment. Go with me to Psalms 34. There's a promise there in Psalms 34, and it's going to help us, again, manage our emotion called disappointment. Psalms 34, and we're going to look at, I believe it's verse 10. Psalms 34 and verse 10. And it says there, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. But, everyone say but. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now that's a mouthful there. Let me read it again. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. But those, how many seek the Lord? How many of y'all seek the Lord? Okay. The promise to you then is those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. All who seek him will lack no good thing, which means this, if it's good for you, God will give it to you. If it's not good for you, then you won't get it from the Lord. Now watch this. Everyone say if. If it's good for you, huh? God will give it to you. If it's not good for you, then you won't get it from him. But you pray and you fast, and you do not get what you asked for, and it disappoints you. You ever been disappointed by the Lord? You've prayed and fasted and sought the Lord, and he didn't do it, and you didn't got upset with the Lord, and you got disappointed with the Lord. Now watch, look at good thing. Go with me to Psalms chapter 16. Psalm 16, and we're going to look at verse 2. Psalms 16 and verse 2, and it says there, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. Let me read it again, another version. It says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. I don't have anything good unless it comes from the Lord. Go with me to Psalms 73, and look at verse 25, I believe. Psalm 73 and verse 25. Yes, verse 25. Verse 25 says, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. The only thing I really desire, what the psalmist says here, is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I believe it's verse 8. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Philippians 3 and verse 8. And it says there, this is Paul saying this.
verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and he's counting all things as rubbish that I may gain Christ. What he's saying is, the only good thing that I really want is you. Now, who will dare say an amen to that verse? Be careful. All right. I know you don't want to say amen to it. The greatest good is what? It's God himself. The greatest good we can have is God himself. Now, Psalms 34 and 10 is true, and it is true. It means that we would not lack any good thing. And in order to manage the emotion called disappointment, we must settle our hearts on Psalms 34 and 10 that God will not withhold any good thing from me. Meaning, if I don't have it, it's not good for me right now. Is going to help you as you manage disappointment. Because listen, your good and God's good can be two different things. Amen? You ever got something that you wanted real bad and find out, whoo, I wish I wouldn't have got that. Amen? Listen, we some years ago, I had the big head. And so I wanted to buy Ola this Lexus. That Lexus. Oh, I'm buy my other Lexus. I'm going to be like this, with nice sunroof. And, you know, I was wanting it so bad, I thought it was good for me, I didn't understand the payments very well. I didn't understand how long 72 months was. It was supposed to be good, right? I'm gonna bring this home to all of the baby. Look what I got for you, huh? 72 months later, it was finally done. I wanted it. I prayed for it. It wasn't good for me. Sometimes, we become our own gods. And we make our prayers come to pass. Huh? We can figure out a way to make it come to pass. And then tell folks, God gave it to me. God didn't give me that car. I got it. Amen. I paid for it. It's in my garage now. But God didn't give it to me. I went and got it myself. I was, as Tina said, I was like slave. I was enslaved. Do you want to know how much I paid every month? Do you really want to know that? Y'all don't want to know that, do you? Huh? You do? I go ahead and tell it. You know. God delivered me. You tell them? Y'all want to know? $700. Your good and God's good, totally different. God's good here and my foolishness over here. Sometimes we want something that is really foolish. Amen? Foolish. Listen, don't be foolish like me. I'm trying to help you. Amen? Don't be a fool like me. And my wife was wise enough and said, okay, you pay for it then. you did it. You go ahead and pay for it. She drove it, but right. No, watch this. So our good and God's good can be two different things. What the psalmist says that God will not withhold any good thing from you. So if you don't have it,
what God is saying, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. Healing is good because it can bring us closer to God, and we can know more about his power, mercy, and goodness. Now watch this, all right? But not being healed can be good as well. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Says, and this is the Apostle Paul, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn, everyone say thorn, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded, everyone say pleaded, this is the Apostle Paul here, praying, pleading, fasting with God to be healed, to be delivered from something. This thorn in the flesh. Amen? Paul was a man of prayer, lived right before God, right? He had healed others, right, through the power of Jesus. This thorn in the flesh attacks him or gets attached to him. He pleads with the Lord, not just once or twice, but for three times it might depart from me. And this is what God said to him in verse 9. My grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. The greatest good for you right now is my grace. You're going to keep the thorn. I'm not going to heal you from the thorn. I'm going to give you my grace. You see, healing is good, but not healing can be good as well. And sometimes we think that if I'm not healed, then it's not good. It can be good. God's grace is enough to get you through. Then Paul says, God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when God promises we will not lack any good thing, he means we will not lack anything that will bring us more or closer to him. Whatever you, since he's the greatest good, the greatest good, whatever you need to get you closer to me, I'm going to make sure that you have it. Sometimes not having that job is the greatest good. Sometimes not having that wife is the greatest good. Sometimes not having that husband is the greatest good. Sometimes that can be the greatest good. We don't see it that way. We're like kids. We don't know at the age of 12 we shouldn't be driving. We want to drive. We feel like at the age of 14, we should have keys to a car. No. Parents ought to know better. Amen? God knows better. Now watch this. This right here, I'm about to say, is for mature saints only. If you are newborn in Christ, it's going to be hard to swallow. All right? They're the word called premastication. Premastication. And it's been going on for 100,000 of years. Moms did it before there were Gerbers. And what moms would do, mom would take the food and begin to chew it up, right? Because the babies were just too, they couldn't chew on that. Right, and then take it out of their mouth, and then feed it to the baby. Everyone say, yes, yes. And so as the man of God, this house, it's my job to do this premastication, so that you'll be able to digest it, because it's going to be hard to receive. And if you do not fully embrace Psalms 34:10 to be truth,
It's going to be hard when you pray for something and you don't receive it and you get angry at God. You pray for your loved one for healing and they don't get healed on this side and they die. You get angry at the Lord. You pray for a job and you do not get it and you think that you deserve it. You get angry at God. I want you to know God is not going to withhold anything that's good for you. All right. And so when you're on the verge of being disappointed, you got to run back to Psalms 34:10. You know what? It ain't good for me then. Because I don't have it. If it's good for me, God will make sure that I have it. Amen. Why am I disappointed? Why am I disappointed? When I feel disappointed by God, it is because there is something that I'm longing for more than I long for Him. There is something that I'm longing for more than Him. And when God sees it, He says, no, I can't. I'm not going to allow you to have that because we have it. We have problems that we will put certain things on pedestals. Whether it's a ministry, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a car, whether it's a, sometimes you put your kids on this throne and you begin to worship them. Listen, if you're not careful, your kids will run you ragged. Here, there, everywhere. You can't take a vacation. Because you're always doing this and that for them. Listen, at some point, you got to slow down. Right? When I feel disappointed by God, it is because there is something I'm longing for more than Him. It could be a longing for a wife, a longing for employment, a longing for healing, whatever it is. I'm longing for it more than I long for Him. Now watch this. None of those things that you long for more than Him can satisfy as much as God can Himself. You're longing for something more than Him, and they can't satisfy you. I don't know why, but we do this. We long for things, and we think it's going to make us complete. Listen, if you ain't complete now, that wife ain't going to make you complete. If you're not complete now, that husband that you is not going to make you complete. You still going to be a half a person. I need somebody to make me whole. No. You need to be whole yourself. Amen? Because you only half, and you go find someone who's only half, you only got two half people. Amen? Trying to make it. You need to be whole. Because if you only half, you just going to draw a half. A half ain't going to draw a whole. Because the whole is looking for another whole person. Amen? You only half. You got to become a whole person. Glory to God. None of these things can satisfy you as much as God Himself. When I'm disappointed by God, I am not trusting that God has my best interest in mind. When I'm disappointed by God, I'm not trusting that God has my best interest in mind because Psalms 34:10 says, what does it say? Psalm 34:10, let's go back there again. Psalms 34:10, get on the screen. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. So when I'm disappointed by God, what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust you. I think I know what's best for me. I think what I know I should have right now. And I'm mad at you, God. You said I'd get everything that's good for me. Yeah, but what you want is not good for you. I do not trust that He knows what the best thing is for me at this time. I don't trust Him. I said, I don't trust you. I trust myself more. Now, write these. I'm going to give you four things that you and I can do to manage the emotion of disappointment. Number one, write this down. Come to Jesus with your disappointment. Come to Jesus with your disappointment, trusting him to meet you and change your heart. Go with me to Psalms, I believe it's Psalms 40. Psalms 40, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 3, Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. And it says here, watch this, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Okay? From when I feel I'm about to get into disappointment, I'm going to bring my disappointment to the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. See, God, when you come to God with your disappointment, say, God, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, and you come to him, he will change your heart, put a new song in your mouth. He will change how you look at things. You still don't have what you thought you wanted, but your heart has been changed, and you no longer desire that anymore. Huh? He's taken that away from you. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. So the first thing I do, I must come to Jesus with my disappointment. I must admit I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to do such and such thing for me, and it didn't happen. And you know what? God is big enough to handle your disappointment. Stop trying to act like you're not disappointed. You are disappointed. You're disappointed. Number two, confess that you are longing for something else more than him. Sometimes we try to act like we are so super spiritual. We don't want to confess that, you know what, that I've got some issues. And I want something more than I want the Lord. We have to confess that we are longing for something else more than him and be assured of complete forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Go with me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. I've got to confess, God, I'm upset with you. I'm disappointed, but I'm sorry. Forgive me, and God will forgive you. Number three, since the Spirit does his work through the Word, you have to search and locate scriptures that describe God's love, his power, his promises concerning God being your all-satisfying treasure. And then pray over those scriptures. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And it says here, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Do you want peace? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Right? Now watch this. We have to diligently search the scriptures, all right? Study them, memorize them, add them to our heart and to our mind so that we are on the verge of being disappointed. We can run back to the scriptures. You know what? No, it must not be good for me, because if it was good for me, I would have it. And so whatever I've been desiring, God, thank you that you didn't give it to me. Because I guess I don't need it. Huh? Too many things we think we want, we really don't need them. Huh? We don't need it. Huh? 72 months later. Huh? Everyone say 72. 72. 72. 72, it's a long time. Hallelujah. 70, 72. Huh? I didn't realize that God had everything for me already. Huh? He knew what I needed, right? I thought I wanted it, but he knew better. But I was foolish. Huh? He satisfies all of our needs. We can trust him to bring it to us. Amen? The next one here. When I feel disappointed, pray and believe that God will and that God is taking care of everything that you and I need. Can you believe that? Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Watch this. Matthew chapter 6. When I'm disappointed, I don't trust the Lord. When I'm disappointed, it means that I have not searched the scriptures to see what the Lord has said concerning him and our relationship. All right? But when I search the scriptures, I come to realize that, you know what? God's got me covered. There's no need for me to be disappointed in him, because whatever I need, God's going to make sure that I have it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, do this first. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added or given to you. Everything that you really need, God's going to make sure that you get it, but you got to seek him and his kingdom first. Our problem is we've been seeking things and not him. We've been seeking blessings and not him, right? We want what God can do for us, but we don't want God, right? We want salvation, but we don't want a Lord. Amen. We want a Savior, but don't rule over my life. You know, just you're here. You saved me. Okay, let me live my life the way I want to. Gail spoke today in Sunday school about this thing, grace. Okay, yeah, I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. I know I got grace can take care of me. Grace. Got grace. Right? It's all right. Got grace. No, it's not all right. We don't trust the Lord until we get disappointed. And watch this. If you're not mature in God, you'll walk away from the Lord because you got disappointed because he didn't come through with what you thought he should come through with. You thought he should have healed your mother, and he did not. You thought he should have gave you that job, and he did not until you walked away. You thought you should have been married by now, and you're not until you walk away. We don't trust the Lord. Huh? We don't trust the Lord. And so this is only for mature people, because it takes a mature person to not receive what they desire and still live for him. Huh? It takes a mature person to pray and ask God for something, and it's delayed or it never comes, and you still remain faithful. It takes a mature person, right? A babe in Christ will be tossed to and fro, but a mature person, he stands. You know what? I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I'm yet going to stand for the Lord. We make things kind of easy now. Huh? I was talking with a pastor yesterday, and we were talking about ministry and how grateful I was to be here and from where I came from. And I said just a simple thing, don't laugh at me, just a simple thing, is having a parking lot. and watch this. And then I remember coming up as a young boy in the churches in San Francisco where they were just on the street. There are no parking lots. Sometimes you have to park blocks away and walk to the church. Today, if I gotta walk to the church from a block, I ain't going. I'm going to another church with a parking lot, right? We done got all spoiled, amen. If I gotta walk two blocks away to get to the church, I ain't coming. They ain't got no parking lot. I ain't going to no church, got no parking lot. We think it's all about us, but I remember the saints. I remember the saints. They catch a bus to church. Huh? They catch a bus to get to the church. Glory to God. And just believe God for a ride back home. They catch a bus. They'd walk, huh, to get to the house of God. Now, you know, praise the Lord. And we get disappointed so easy with God. God, man, we are some blessed people. Amen. We are some blessed people. Glory to God. My wife and I, we first started in ministry, and we were working in the Sunnydale district of San Francisco, and we'd go out on Saturday afternoons, and there were projects in the Sunnydale. There used to be an old Navy barracks, and we'd go out in the projects, and we'd knock on those doors every Saturday morning. And ask the mamas, can they let the kids come to Sunday school? And I remember on Sunday mornings, all of they only had one bathroom. And the little back room they had, it was about maybe like this, right, Ola? And Sunday morning, she'd be in the back there making breakfast for the kids. Because they came hungry, right? And you can't teach kids about Jesus unless you feed them, right? They hungry. They ain't going to behave. You got to feed them first, amen? Some adults, you got to feed them first, too. They ain't going to behave, amen? And so I remember us starting out, no parking lot, amen? And she's in the back fixing, you know, toast and jelly and didn't have no stove, no kitchen. No kitchen. We had one of those plug-in skillets. Y'all remember that? Plug-in skillet. It was square-like, had a little dial on it, you know. You dial how, you know, and see me frying the egg and doing the toast and doing the bacon and feeding the kids, you know. We had no kitchen. Amen. One bathroom, no parking lot, amen. We were in a rough part, me and Sister Ola, huh? Had service at nighttime. Remember, came out one night and the hubcaps were gone. Huh? Had a liquor store to our right, and then one across the corner. But this is where God had planted us, right? And you thought that you were, you know, you faced all disappointed, but God knew what He was doing. God knew that was the best thing for me. That was the best thing for me. So I can understand the ups and downs of ministry. Sometimes we want things, God said, no, I know what you need. Amen? Sometimes the kid needs a talking to, but sometimes the kid needs a whooping. Amen? And a good parent knows the difference. Amen? So God knows when He needs to bring you out from that, and God knows that you need to stay there a little while longer. And so we stayed there. Huh? In that community, in the projects, right? And built and led people to Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Huh? Now some when you're young, now come to ministry, you don't want to start there. You ain't starting there in the projects. Amen. You want a place at least with a parking lot. Huh? I sincerely believe, I told this before, I sincerely believe that every young person that wants to start in ministry needs to start in a small church somewhere where they have to work. Where they have to work. Amen. And then bring them up. And understand the community. Amen. We knew who the drunks were. Amen. And they knew us. We didn't have any fear, you know, being there. But yeah, there were disappointments, no doubt. But God knew, and God knows about you. Where you're at right now, that's where God wants you. Because the Psalms 34:10, He's not going to withhold any good thing from you. And when it's time for you to move from this place, God's going to make that move for you. You got to trust him. You got to trust Psalms 34:10 that he's not going to withhold any good thing from you. So wherever you're at right now, be there. Amen? Be the best you can be there. We were the best, and we had some times there, because there were the liquor store down the street, you know. And so Sister Ola and I, we were glad when anyone came. If you were drunk, come on in. Hey, come on in. Praise the Lord. Yeah, man. And you ain't gonna believe this. You can believe this. I used to play the drums. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I wouldn't dare play them now. Sister Ola wouldn't let me play them now. Anyway. But yeah, you face disappointments. And the reason you get disappointed is this. You want something more than you want of him. And really, according to the scriptures here in the book of Psalms, And what Paul said is, I count everything but dung. I want you. I want to know you. That's all I want. I want you. And when your heart is right and all you want is Jesus, he'll add everything else that you need. Amen? So listen, from here, seek God. Don't seek the car. Don't seek the job. Don't seek the spouse. Don't seek the house. Seek the Lord. Tell the Lord what your desires are, but seek only him. Listen to what I'm saying. Tell the Lord what your desires are, but seek only him. All right? Seek only him. Lay your desires out in prayer before him and watch God move. And watch. You find yourself becoming less and less disappointed with the Lord. Because of Psalms 34:10, stand to your feet, everyone. And I want to pray for any of you who have felt like, you know what, God, you've disappointed me. And we'll take some time and pray. If anyone here has felt like, oh God, you've disappointed me. I'm kind of discouraged about you. If you're here today and you felt like God, this anyone feel like God disappointed you? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to pray, and then Cole, you're going to give us a closing prayer, and we're going to confess our sins to the Lord. Lord, then you know that I wanted something more than I really wanted you, and I'm sorry. So, Father, you already know this. We're not telling you anything new. But there have been some things that we have desired more than we've desired you. And in your infinite wisdom, you have withheld those things from us. But because of that, we felt disappointed. And some of us, God, have even been angry with you. Because we fully didn't understand how much you love us. And somehow, God, we compared you to man who withholds things from others just to be spiteful.
But God, because of what your word says today, we realize that you love us. And whatever is good for us, you will give it to us. And so, God, this church here today, we rest on Psalms 34:10. That you will provide everything that we need. I pray, God, that you remind us what Matthew 6:33 says, God, how for us to seek you and your kingdom first. And God, as we do this, you will add everything else to our life. And so, God, we surrender ourselves to you today, our desires, our pain, our anger, we give that to you. We pray that you would forgive us of not trusting you. And because we have confessed that, oh God, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we thank you. And we walk out of this place here today, God, in a few moments, saying that we're not going to be disappointed again with you, because we know that if it's not good for us, we're not going to get it. For that you would shape our desires to be in alignment with you and what you have for us. Yes, I pray that in Jesus' name. Cole, come up here, and you're going to give us a closing prayer. Listen, before he does that,